Hey, Packaging Peeps, it's Valerio Matos on Package Design Unboxed. Today we've got Chloe Templeman on the podcast. She's Executive Creative Director at Big Fish. She was previously Creative Director at Design Bridge for 12 years. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a female executive in the creative industry. We're also going to discuss, once you get a job as an executive at a design agency, what are your success metrics? What are they expecting from you? And what should you be looking at when you get started?
So you're with Big Fish 2 months. Have you had a chance to dig into projects? Like, what does that look like when you come in at an executive level to an agency that's established?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a hard, I always knew it's going to be a hard sort of position to go in at, because obviously quite a lot of, you know, especially at Design Bridge, a lot of those senior roles are people who have, you know, kind of grown up their way through the business and kind of earned that respect. So I was very cautious when I first went in, just to listen and learn. And actually, it's not about me coming in and going, this is what I want to do. It's actually going, well, what can you teach me about how great you guys are? Because we're, like you say, amazing work, well respected. And I do, you know, I went there because of the amazing clients and the amazing work that they do. So actually, not just walking in and going, right, this is how we're doing things, but actually, you know, I still want to be learning. And actually, I'm the first month, I was probably just having one-on-one meetings with everyone, learning how they do things. I asked to see projects from beginning to end, Ivy's being one of them, to just say, you know, again, take me back to the strategy. What did you do then? And kind of talk me through all the phases and how did you present and how did it all work? So again, I wanted to go in with a real kind of open mind. So I spent quite a lot of time learning, getting to know people in the studio, getting to know their roles, you know, not in an interview type way, but actually what kind of work are you working on? What do you love doing? And really trying to just kind of soak it all in. And in the back of my mind, obviously coming in at that level, there's certain objectives that I've got that I need to kind of perform against. So, you know, knowing, you know, what does, you know, the studio structure, and with, you know, Perry, who owns the company right now, he's got a kind of lens across everything. So from new business to strategy to design, very blended, like we were talking about before, and actually being able to sort of leave the studio in my hands, but actually for him, trying to get all the knowledge from him, but then kind of saying, well, actually with a new studio, or a new kind of approach, how do I want to do things, and what ways can we, you know, run projects through and more efficiently, or is there any sort of things that are annoying people, or things that are great that we can't lose? It's the same as like if you were designing a new pack, you've got to find out as much as you can about how what it currently is and what the current brand is, before you then start kind of going in with changes. And it's not about me going in and changing everything. It's about me going in and trying to help support what they already do. So a first couple of weeks, a lot of listening, a lot of learning. And then, yeah, it kind of just happened by accident. One project came in that they said, oh, you would be great for this. Can you have an eye over it? And then another great project came in, and actually they do have quite a lot of projects, you know, kind of starting, because they are obviously work on small clients as well as big clients. I think the small clients will come in, it'll be quite a short job. So actually I've been lucky enough to jump on a few new starters as well, which is great to be able to cast the team. And Perry as well keeps saying, you know, how would you do this? And I'm sort of saying, well, how would you do? So we're trying to like learn from each other, you know, and trying to kind of get the best of, you know, how can we take the best of both of our approaches and kind of make something that really works.
You mentioned, you know, starting at an executive level, you have your own goals that you have to perform against, mm-hmm. right? Can you share a little bit about that? Like, what, as coming in at an executive level, what's expected? Is it new business? If you're a junior designer or a midweight designer, you're seeing what an executive does, but I mean, like you said, like, what are you performing against?
Yeah. It's kind of split into a few different areas. So obviously we've got the team. So the team and the studio is one of my big things that I need to get to know them. I want them to get to know me. I want, you know, obviously you've got to prove yourself. I'm not expecting to just walk in and everybody know who I am and know my work and have that level of respect. I always think you've got to earn it. So building a good rapport with the team, and also kind of, again, I know that we're out of lockdown now, but we're 3 days a week in the studio, and actually a lot of people spent a lot of time at home. So actually one of the things that I need to work on is, you know, building that studio vibe and that environment where, you know, creatives can thrive. So it's obviously inspiring great work, but building a real kind of studio, a real close knit where everybody looks after each other, and especially a lot of the juniors or middleweights who maybe, you know, they joined during the pandemic and actually have never really been in that environment. So for me, it's the sort of the team, the people is one of them. Obviously the work, creative excellence, I think right. It's creating the best work in the world, I think, is one of my objectives, which is no easy feat, but I'm up for it. So actually making sure that the amazing standards that have been set with Big Fish over the years are kept up. You know, they do things against the grain. You know, they define categories. They're not afraid to kind of stand up and do something a bit different. So I want to push for that, and I think I've got the energy and the enthusiasm to be able to do that. And again, I think on the creative level, you know, I wouldn't say I'm going to be hugely involved in the new business side, because there's a new business department who does that. But actually, you know, they still need to, any new clients need to be invested in the studio and the creative, and that obviously is headed up by me. So, you know, meeting clients, you know, showing them some of the stuff that I've done or kind of what I've worked on, or just having a bit of a chemistry meeting with them sometimes is important to make sure that they feel that, you know, despite the fact that I'm new, that a lot of the same sort of values are in place with Big Fish, so it doesn't feel like too big a kind of leap. And then again, one of my huge objectives is, again, the environment and doing sustainability. And we've got certain objectives to work with clients, you know, drawing down carbon being one of the main sort of things that we want to try and help. So, yeah, some sort of smaller ones that I think come naturally to me, like the team and the creative, and then some bigger ones, which are really exciting about, you know, learning how to be as sustainable as we can, and actually, you know, learn. I've never really been kind of in the world of drawing down carbon or, you know, vertical farming or any of that. And actually, a lot of that is, you know, I'm learning from the clients that we have and from the ambition as a company. So it's great as well that on the sort of the ambition wheel thing, one of them is about sustainability. It's not just about doing great work and building a team. It needs to be about building a better planet. So yeah, that's kind of my role.
If somehow magically like your dream client is listening to this episode, right? Who's the dream client? Like, who would you love to work with right now? Obviously you love working with the brands you're working with, but if there was one brand, one product that's out there today that you'd be like, this would be so much fun, this would be so perfect, like who would that be?
Oh, I've got so many. From like, I'd love to work on like a big innovation in the industry. So whether that be a new material or something that would, and again, for me, it's maybe less about the brand and more about what sure. they do. So for me, a real innovation or some sort of material or something that is on the cusp and they just need a brand and then to use it would be absolute dream. Randomly, if I have to name a brand, it would probably be someone like a sports brand, someone like Puma. And not, I mean, everybody says Nike because, you know, Nike are great, but I feel like Nike do great stuff already. I feel like for some reason, Puma's always, for me, been a bit of the underdog. And actually, I've never really worked on a sports brand before. And I'd love to be able to, again, if there's a Puma brief out there and they've got this new trainer that is, you know, super sustainable and magical, then I want to brand it and I want to package it. That would be the ultimate.
That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah, I just saw some packaging for Adidas from Hayden Gaynor and his team, but they're on like materials. I think they're you know, and they, it was like a mushroom box that held the shoes in there.
That was
insane.
Yeah. And I know that Sipsmith had done something with like compostable mushroom, like it was a gift pack as well. I just think there's so much. Yeah. And I'm learning loads, and there's so many talks, so many people now, there is a real drive on it. Something like that would just be, I just think that's where I think design can really make a difference, and actually being able to work on something, be able to brand it and use it in a really clever way. I just think for me would be, really satisfying, really creative, and you're actually kind of making a bit of a difference.
What do you see as the future of packaging?
If I knew that, I could build an amazing agency that solves all the problems. I think you kind of said it. I think the world of packaging is changing. I think even, you know, the way we shop, it's not just about a shelf shop anymore. I mean, in the old days, it would be, you know, you would put it on shelf and you would see it against, you know, where people buy it. But people, again, a lot of people shop online. So actually there's a whole other challenges of e-commerce. How do you make it stand out on a tiny little screen when it's like this size? I also think as brands start to get a lot more digital, you know, the metaverse, and brands are sort of playing in this world now. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm an expert on that. I think it's to a point interests me, but I'm like a sucker for the physical. And actually I think a lot of the time, a lot of the things, again, with Big Fish, is they'll design things that it's meant for, you know, it's meant for the table when you put it out on the table, or it's actually, you know, it's for the fridge, or it's for your home, and it's actually more like in your home rather than thinking about it in a cold supermarket shelf or on an app. And I think sort of clever packaging is the future. So clever, whether that be materials or the form and function of how we use things, kind of interrupting the status quo of, this is the generic shape of a milk carton. Well, but why though? you know, is there a better way? And actually continuing to challenge the status quo, like I say, and kind of why just accept that this is the way we've always done things? And actually, I think that's where it could start to get really clever as for packaging designers from a 2D and a 3D point of view. The form of it, as well as the materials, as well as, like you say, how does it then, what's the afterlife? Is it reusable, refillable? Is it compostable? So actually not just thinking about it, how does it look on a shelf, which is a 3-second purchase, but the life cycle, the life cycle of the whole pack. And I think we're going to have to. I think we're already starting to, you know, to kind of go there, but it's definitely not enough. And I think needing the sort of the legislation or the big companies to make sort of more positive changes, because it doesn't feel great when you see, you know, the ocean's been polluted with plastic, and then you've worked on you worked for years on packaging that potentially could end up there. So I think everybody's kind of waking up, and hopefully the future of packaging will be innovative, smart, but still, you know, beautiful, and something you want to keep in your home, or you're proud to have out on your table, or proud to gift someone. I think gifting is a huge, especially again at the Pint Awards, when you see all these amazing, I think I asked to nick so many of them. We were all saying, can we have this? But Adam wouldn't let us. He only had a certain amount. But you want something desirable, but you also want something that, like I say, it's the full, being thought about the full life cycle. So you're not just putting more stuff into landfill. Would be a great and bright future, I think, for packaging.
There's a lot of designers at different levels that are asked to be a judge, and different awards companies try to bring them in to the fold. But sometimes, you know, they're like, I'm too busy, I can't do this right now, I don't have time for this. Or they have a, I don't do awards type of mentality. What are the benefits of doing an award, being a judge on an award program like this? Like, what do you get out of it, personally, from a creative standpoint?
I think it's so beneficial. I've judged, so even things like New Blood for DNAD, I think seeing student work, seeing the next generation, seeing how they think is so inspiring. I think from looking at things like, I think I judged the Scottish Design Awards. It's great to be able to, you know, kind of do things to represent your country, obviously being a proud Scots lass. But things, you know, judging awards for me, you get to see such an array of products, and it might be, again, I judge on the drum panel as well. So that's not just packaging, that's web, that's advertising, that's, you know, there's digital, there's branding. So actually, I think for me, being a judge on these different awards, it keeps me relevant. It keeps my eyes open to what's out there. It inspires me to up my game, to kind of see the best kind of out there. And to see the best, like, again, like I say, like physically, to be able to kind of, to be able to have a record, to take a mental picture of all these things, to learn what are the new innovations coming through, or the to be able to kind of learn from the people around you as well. Like, obviously I met you through it. I think it's great to meet other talented people. And actually I've met quite a lot of sort of people of all kind of levels, you know, actually got mentors and mentees through judging awards, where we just kind of click with someone that maybe you wouldn't have had that one-on-one time with. So actually, for me, it's been amazing to know people in the industry, to chat about common problems that you're all facing, to chat about good things that happen. And actually, I think the Pent Awards is great, I think, with the having a, you know, you do a few years, so actually you then get to know some people, you maybe see them on different panels. But what's really great is for me to keep me relevant, to keep me inspired. Yeah. And then usually what I'll do is I'll then kind of take it back to the team and say, have you seen this pack, or have you seen this, and actually be able to share that with the people that I'm working with. And as I suppose, I mean, the judging, it's obviously just people's opinion at the end of the day, and I think a really good debate is just as interesting when you all agree. I think when you all agree, sometimes sometimes it's quite good to go, yeah, but why are we all agreeing? Why are we not pushing ourselves far enough? So actually, I kind of like it when there's a debate, because you get to see a lot of different sides of the argument. So you again, for me, it's all about learning, and for me, I learn loads from the people around me and from the stuff that I'm judging. So yeah, I'm really lucky to get asked to do things like that. I love it.
You know, if you're listening and you're being asked to be on, you know, on an awards panel, I agree. I think it's important that you be on it, because there's so much to be inspired by. Mm. You're seeing work from all over the world. And I think that was the coolest thing with the Pen Awards too, is like, you're seeing it from all over the world. You're getting a little bit about the brief, and you're seeing how different people are tackling different products. So it could be the same product from different regions. You might learn that in one region they're using certain things for certain reasons that you not have thought of, right? And you're like, I'm never going to work on this product, but there's something there that inspires you for something in the future, or something you can share with your team. Be like, look how they handled this. And yeah, I just think it's super important to you know, you say like, oh, I'm giving back by being a judge sometimes. No, it's like you're sucking it all in. Like, yeah, you get so much more out of it.
Yeah. And I think as well, it's to be able to use that platform to then make changes in the industry. Like, say, for example, the reason I met Adam Ryan, head of the Pent Awards, is a couple of years ago, we were at the Pent Awards in Barcelona. I think I'd won a silver. And I looked at the jury panel before Adam took over, and it was all men, and I was just so angry, and I didn't realize he was the new head of the Pent Awards at the time. And I remember having a conversation with him, and I said, why have you not got one woman on that panel? Like, this is ridiculous. And I went off on one, you know, being a champion of equality that I am.
Yeah.
And then he went, well, actually, I'm the head of the Pent Awards. I'm about to take over, and I'm going to come back in a few years and get you in the panel. And I was like, oh my God, it was just an amazing chance kind of encounter. But actually now, to be able to diversify the panel, and I know that they're working really hard again to try and diversify it even more, but you know, to be able to use that platform to show your face and actually say, you know, I'm just a regular lassie from a wee place in Scotland. And actually, if I can be on a global, you know, awards panel, that's for all the the sort of the young designers back in Scotland, it kind of, for me, it's important to, you know, to be able to see it, to be it, and actually, you know, to be able to have access to people like Adam who can then change things. And actually, you know, we worked on a student brief this year together because I'd said last year that, you know, they should have a student competition, and actually they could, that would be great, and give, you know, we'll give a placement away and they can do this and actually help. So yeah, I think as yeah, you get loads out of it, but you can also use that platform to kind of give back as well, which I absolutely love.
Chloe, I appreciate you being on. What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to break this up into two episodes. I think the first half on strategy, the second half on big fish and your position.
Is that because I chat too much?
No, because we went into so many different things. I think that's awesome. So Chloe, thank you so much for being on. I super appreciate it. If anybody wants to reach out to Big Fish, I'll paste this on the back end. Right? It's Big Fish, bigfish.co.uk.
Yep. And my email is just chloe@bigfish.co.uk. If anyone wants to reach out, we're always looking for great people. So yeah, or anything. If anyone needs anything, you've got my email. Yep.
Perfect. Awesome. Chloe, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. It was great to meet you.
Thanks again for listening to the episode. Once again, if you have any questions, please leave them in the comments. I'm happy to answer them, or I'll get somebody that can answer them to answer them for you. We'll talk soon.